called the broker up. I said, Griffin, buy. He said, buy what? I said, you know what to buy. Buy Zuck. He says, how do you spell that? I said, Z-U-C-K. He said, that's not the ticker. I said, Griffin, call Zuck and tell him I want some shares. And so we bought some shares. And I think we're up double from where we bought.
It's Friday. We're reacting to the news. Welcome, fellas. Let's go through the stories. First of all, Facebook stock is soaring. It's up 43% in the last month. Suli's getting rich off of it. Fellas, did you call it? Did you know that Facebook was going to rebound?
Right now, Facebook, like I haven't bought ads on it recently, Sean, but I was talking to some of my folks who worked with you on the Milk Road. And I was talking to some of the people who worked at HubSpot, the people who worked on the hustle at HubSpot. Facebook ads are killing it. They seem like they're working really nicely. Like when I was running it, it was like, you know, we are acquiring users for like $3 or $4. And then nowadays it's back down to like $150 when we first started. So it's kind of easy to see, I guess. What about you?
Yeah, I bet on it. So I took, $250,000, like, 3 or 4 months ago. And I bought Meta because I was like, why is everybody down on Meta? And I was like, did they forget the number one rule? You don't bet against Zuck. And to anybody who's like, oh, but the metaverse, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, I just send them the video clip of Mark Zuckerberg doing MMA. And I'm like, this is who you're trying to bet against? The guy that since age 18 has just been like dominating everything he's tried to do. The guy who's created the biggest social network ever, then bought all of his competitors and killed everybody else who tried to compete with him, including Google, when they tried to compete with him on social. And now he trains MMA. And before that, he learned to hunt and speak Chinese fluently. You think this guy's just going to lose money because Apple changed their cookie policy or whatever? Get out of here with that. No way. And so called the broker up. I said, Griffin, buy. He said, buy what? I said, you know what to buy. Buy Zuck. He says, how do you spell that? I said, Z-U-C-K. He said, that's not the ticker. I said, Griffin, call Zuck and tell him I want some shares. And so we bought some shares. And I think we're up double from where we bought. I don't know exactly. I think it's 80. I'm up 80% on that.
Sean and I use the same guy, by the way. We both use Griffin. What did Griffin say?
I'm gonna actually check the number so I don't misquote myself here.
Did he say, are you sure, Sean? Or is he goes, yes, sir, go and do it?
Well, he texted me the other day. He goes, great call on Meta. And I go, thank you for the compliment because I've lost a lot of money this year. And he goes, that's why I sent this. Okay, not quite double, but close. We're
that's good.
We will be double. So we're up 50%, only 50%. So a little bit less than I thought. 50% still not bad in a couple months.
Dude, Sarah used to work at Facebook in 2012, and I was like doing some math about what she would have. 2012 she started. Or sorry, 14 she started working there, and I was doing the math on like where she would be if she just stayed there. And we were talking about it, and I was like, well, pro, you would have gotten fairly wealthy. Con, like her job there was like, how do I make like a sticker emoji that gets people in Brazil to share more selfies? So it's like, you're going to want to like kill yourself, and this is whack and lame, but like they pay for your lunch and you get our oil changed. And like that stock back then was only $47 at its peak was $372. I mean, that's pretty sick, but yeah, man, like, Facebook's killer. Never bet against them.
Dude, when we were going through our sale process, Facebook was one of the potential buyers. They offered the highest 18? Deal. No, this was 2019, 2020, something like that. 19, I think.
Okay, so back then it was $200.
Yeah, so it's good that the stock is down from when we would have got acquired because it was, stock was a significant part of the deal. But the difference of talent quality between we interviewed with, we talked to YouTube, we talked to Twitch, where we ended up going, to Facebook, to Discord, to a bunch of other players. And Facebook was so much more impressive. I was like, okay, if I was just going off of who, what talent would we be around? It's not even close. Like the numbers are not even like the math of the difference of these offers is not even close. But I was optimizing a lot for other things.
A lot of people who I've talked with who work at Facebook, they're sharp as hell. Like I remember just walking around that campus. It felt like I was at the UN. You know what I mean? Like there's like like there's so many different like types of like colors and like ethnicities. It was like they just like cherry picked the best of all over the world. And it was at that, what was it, Menlo Park, or I forget where it was. Yeah. But like walking around that campus, I feel inspired.
One of the guys who would have been reporting to me there, he was like, yeah, as my like intro, like when you get there, you do like a demo project or you do like an intro project, I guess if you're early on as an engineer or a product manager or something like that, to like just get onboarded, you do like a hackathon project. And he created basically Facebook Marketplace in that and I ended up running working on that. But it was like, you know, his prototype was like one of the original Genesis things. And then another guy was like, I was like, what'd you do before this? He's like, oh, I was at Microsoft. I was like, oh, okay, we went one boring thing to another. Great. And he's like, yeah, I invented the you know, Microsoft 365. Like, you know, I was like, we should go to the cloud and make this a subscription. And nobody agreed with me. And I just kept working on it for like 2 years. And he's like, I just literally had a separate machine under my desk where I was like, I'm going to build it on this machine. And like, I'm going to do it here. And I was like, okay. So my takeaway was like, you guys are smart, man. If I come here, I'm going to have to work. I'm going to have to work hard, you know, because you can't just like be lazy around these people.
They're great. All right, which one? Which one am I going to go to now?
Let's go Jack Butcher. Jack Butcher's NFT project, which is called Checks V4. It's a bunch of art around the check mark, has recently become the top trading NFT project by volume, surpassing Bored Apes.
I didn't realize it was that big.
I think that's probably like on a this week type basis.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, not all time in terms of like active trading volume, either this week or in a single day. What do you guys have to say to our boy Jack?
Our buddy Jack's getting rich. Love it.
Dude, so I'm biased. Jack's like a close family friend. Him and his wife are very, I'm very close with those folks. They are awesome. And Jack is more of an artist.
Close enough that he sent you some of these NFTs?
Oof. Well, I got a t-shirt that says internet on it that he sent me a 30% coupon code. I got a t-shirt. Jack, dude, Jack's punk rock, man. Jack's more of an artist than he is a businessman. And if you go to his website, Visualize Value, and you read the copy for the check mark, it is, as we like to say, beautifully done. It's just an NFT, but it's just so tasteful. It's classy. It's delightful. No, he's done a good job, man. I think it's cool. I'm not an NFT guy, you know, cornrows, neck tattoos, NFTs, not for me. But cool that other people have them. And that's kind of how I feel about an NFT still. But if I were going to do an NFT, it'd be his.
Yeah, it looks like last 7 days, it's done 15 million in sales volume. It's the fourth ranked one in the last 7 days, maybe. So really impressive.
It's just Jack a check mark, man, right?
I don't say it like that.
No, I'm not.
Nike,
okay.
Is Nike just a swoosh?
Look, I'm not saying it that way. What is it? I didn't actually. Is it like a different color check and you put that as your. No, I'm not disrespecting it at all. But I'm wondering. I'm asking because I'm not in this world.
It went from $8, which was the price that Elon was trying to charge for a blue check on Twitter, right? So that's like the political statement he's making here. So it went from $8, which was his like opening price, I think, to closer to $4,000 per NFT now. So incredible surge. And he is like, I don't know, he's not there yet. This is sort of like comparing, is a little bit of a stretch of a comparison, but he's kind of like a... Internet Banksy a little bit. Like he does cool shit that's like, it's a commentary on what's going on in the world. And the guy just hits. Man. Like, have I seen him do anything not like, that's dope? HO, hits only. And he's one of the few people who has HO status.
Dude, he makes hits. So Jack's our good buddy. If you don't know Jack, follow him on Twitter. He started out, he had an ad agency and then he worked at an ad agency and then he started to make his own ad agency and it was going okay. And then he created this course called Build Once, Sell Twice, which is hilarious. Awesome.
Amazing name. Yeah.
Amazing name. And it's about how to productize a service. And he starts selling that course. And he basically was like, I remember I did a call with him and his wife one time when we first started getting to know one another. And they were in like a 400 or 500 square foot studio apartment that they lived in. And they weren't like killing it. And then like he had the year of his life in 2020 or 2021, kills it. Now, if you go to his website, visualizevalue.com, the reason why I love him is you see like his background, you see his courses, but he also has this tab called visuals where you can like look at some of his artwork. But then he has a merch store, and his merch store is actually awesome. He has these sweatshirts that say college, kind of like, you know, that, but it says internet. And like, yeah, he just does things like that, that are actually awesome. And it, like, when I go to his site, I'm like, oh, I'm like this dorky internet guy too, but he has merch. I'm inspired to be like a lot cooler. Like he is. It's awesome. He's badass. I'm a big Jack fan.
Me too. We're big fans of him. All right. What's up?
All right. Next up, we got Moonwalkers. It's a new shoe that's like half a roller skate. I don't know if you guys had a chance to open up and look at it yet, but it allows you to walk, and you just walk, but you go 7 miles an hour, which is roughly three times as fast as a normal person walks. It's on Kickstarter. It's raised $300,000. The shoes cost more than $1,000. Are you guys in?
God. You got to see the video. These are so stupid and so awesome. They're basically just Heelys for dorks who work at a startup. Like
Heelys for people with no balance.
Yeah, this is crazy. This video is hilarious. It's really dumb, but kind of awesome.
If we did an award for person most likely to have started this that I know, Sam, I think you would have been the guy.
Me? Dude, yeah. This is like the Snuggie of like, shoes.
Tell me how you feel about boosted boards.
Well, boosted boards are dope, right?
It's the same thing, dude.
It's a 25 mile an hour skateboard.
One for each foot, dude.
Oh my God. This is like driving a Kia, man. You're never gonna get laid again if you ever like get caught in one of these.
Hey, I like Kias.
Bro, you have a BMW for a reason.
I saw this on TikTok and it had millions of likes. I think it had like 2 or 3 million likes on this video, and I was like, I could see why. It is gonna be controversial. It is like visually stunning. You can't tell if it's a joke or if it's serious. Like this literally looks like the TikTok and the ad for it literally looks like something from Silicon Valley, the HBO show. Like the guy, the founder, he's like this guy, you know, Shunji, and he's like this Asian guy who's talking about like, you know, as humans, we've always been stuck at 2 miles an hour. And finally, we've broken the barrier. We go 7 now. He's sitting in front of like these three screens, like these huge MacBook screens or iMac screens. Like, dude, what are you programming? Like, it's a shoe with it's roller skates. It's kind of like roller skates.
It's going to revolutionize the way that people get hit by cars. That's what this is going to do. We're changing the world.
You go, if you look at the Kickstarter backers, the Kickstarter backers are only personal injury lawyers who are like, oh yeah, no brainer. It's business expense. Write this one off.
Dude, this is just Segway 2.0. It's really stupid, but also kind of cool. This is like guys who wear like their cell phones outside of their pocket or who wear a Jawbone 24/7. This is that niche. Not for me.
I'll give it to Andrew Tate. I'm out.
Yeah. I'm out.
This data is wrong every freaking time.
Have you heard of HubSpot? HubSpot is a CRM platform where everything is fully integrated.
Whoa, I can see the client's whole history. Calls, support tickets, emails, and here's a task from 3 days ago I totally missed.
HubSpot, grow better.
Let's do one more. You want to do the Tooth Fairy thing?
Yeah, okay, I got a new story for you. My sister has 3 daughters, two of which are losing their baby teeth. And I was talking to my niece the other day, and she tells me that she lost a tooth. I said, wow, fantastic. You're going to give it to you put it under your pillow for the Tooth Fairy? No, I threw it away. You threw it away? You threw it in the garbage can? Yeah, I threw it away. Why? Well, my last tooth was under there for 2 months and the Tooth Fairy never came. So, I don't want to even try anymore. That's the first story I hear. And I'm looking at my sister. She's like making eye contact. Like, I'll tell you later. I'm sorry. I know. I effed up. Then the younger daughter loses her tooth yesterday. puts it under her pillow with a note. Here's what the note says. It's I'll send you a picture of it. But basically, it says something to the effect of, "Dear Tooth Fairy, you didn't come last night, but that's okay. I'm leaving it here again." And it says something like, "You don't have to leave any money. Just draw a picture of yourself. I want to see what you look like." And then that's the note. And she didn't do anything again. So the news, the question, fellas, does my sister need to just check herself into jail for bad mom of the year?
What the hell? What's your deal? What's what? Just give like a few dollars or like, you know, like some Doritos or something. Just put a little something on the side.
She forgot.
How do you forget that?
Unbelievable. She texted me. She said that herself. She goes, "Should I just send myself to jail because I'm such a bad mom?"
That's so crazy to me.
That's my news story of the week. That's what I pay attention to.
What's a tooth go for nowadays? $5?
I don't know, dude. Back in my day, that was, you know, like five or like if your parents get cheeky, they're like, "Here's a $2 bill." Yeah, it's less than the going rate, but it's rare. It's a $2 bill. You know, like
I got a $5 once. And that was like a huge deal. I don't know. What's a tooth go for?
I feel like people do more of that. Ben, what were you? Did you get tooth money when you were growing up?
I got a quarter. I don't feel like I grew up poor, but now I feel like I grew up poor.
Yeah, I would get like a quarter or a dollar. But then one time I got a tooth knocked out and I got $5 for it.
That's some guilt money right there.
It was guilt money.
Yeah, blood money.
I fell and got it knocked out. So I got $5 for that one. But I don't know what a tooth would go for now.
Ben, do this other one you have, the Snowden one. I don't know if you've seen this one.
Yeah, so Edward Snowden goes live on a conference, and the conference is, I don't know, it just screams like fake Zoom conference, right? The let's see what it's called. It's called
Private Investor Conference or something like that.
Private Investor
Conference. The most generic name of all time.
Yes. And so this guy is interviewing Edward Snowden for his private investor conference. He shows up and immediately pulls up an article that says a man busted for $4.4 million Ponzi scheme. And he says, "Is this you?" And the host, the interviewer says, "Yeah, that's me." And he goes, "All right, well, I think it's important to tell people this kind of stuff. Bye." And hangs up on him.
He got paid to come do a keynote. He starts his like, you know, keynote Q&A or whatever, and just screen shares instead the news article that this guy who's hosting this event is a former, like, you know, Ponzi schemer that was like, you know, got in trouble for that. And the chat is just like, wow, wow, boom, wow, oh my God, wow. It's the best. Like, you know, I don't want to go to many webinars, but I wish I was at this one. And shout out to Edward Snowden, you know. Whistleblower is going to blow.
Dude, I'm watching this.
Yeah, he went for it.
Have you ever seen the subreddit? It's on the subreddit called Watch People Die.
Yeah, I've seen that one. Yeah, this is going to be at the top.
Sorry, I screwed that up. Watch People Die Inside. Yeah,
Inside.
Whoops. Yeah, the inside's a big thing. Next, to there's a subreddit called Absolute Units. Have you seen that one? I love that one. Just like a buff dog or like a pimple that's huge. It's called
like a cucumber that's like just too strong to be cut.
Yeah, I love Absolute Units, but I subscribe to Absolute Units and I subscribe to Watch People Die in the Watch People Die Inside. This is one of them. This video is on there.
Well, do you see the reaction? Did you watch the guy's reaction? So the guy goes, "Yeah, yes, that's me." And then Snowden's like, "Well, I think people should know, you know, who they're getting into business with or whatever. So I don't feel good about this. I'm not doing this." So he leaves. And then the guy doesn't know what to do. And he just shrinks and he just goes, "Okay, we're gonna take a break. And I'm gonna come back." And he just doesn't know what to say. It's like, man, if there was ever a time to be like, "Hey, you know, I know that looked bad, but I'm happy to explain and, you know, explain what happened and, you know, clarify for everybody. You know, I can do that right here, right now. No problem."
Dude, and there's people like
he shrinks.
There's people in the chat saying like, "Hey, Edward, are flying saucers real?" Like, and people on Reddit are like, "Yeah, no wonder why these people fall for this. This guy's
the private
scams.
Investor club." Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. This is crazy. Yeah, this is a good video. I'm going to have to watch this. Dude, I've been following some of these like Ponzi scheme guys on like they do all these like, for example, there was one. What's that? There's a Twitch guy with dreadlocks. He's a black dude, not the famous one who boxes, but like another one who's like more hated. And he's like loud and cocky. I forget his name, but very punchable guy. But he was like a crypto company like paid him to do like an ad, and they're in the background talking about, and he forgets that he's recording, and he's like, dude, I can't believe people are going to buy this crap or something like that. You know what I'm talking about? What's that guy's name? He's a very hateable guy.
I don't know who that guy is, but I've seen the clip, and yeah, the owner or the promoter of the thing was behind him, and they're talking. I don't know exactly what he said. I don't think he said that. He said something else, but it was something
like, you know, I don't want to promote this crap anymore.
Picked it up. Yeah, the hot mic picked it up, and people were like, wow, dude, disgusting.
The amount of like the Twitch, and I think I said Twilio, I meant Twitch. The Twitch and like YouTube audience that buys this crap, it is crazy, man. It is absolutely crazy to me. I can't believe people do that, but yeah, this was a good one. How did this guy afford Edward Snowden?
Dude, you know how Ponzi schemers work. They know how to build, you know, they got to build this this shell game, this appearance of legitimacy.
That's crazy to me. It's the private investment club. It's the largest largest real estate club in Canada. That's like his shtick. That's crazy to me. Anyway, yeah, that's a good video. I'm gonna have to watch that.
All right, that's it. We're out of here. Boys React. All right, this episode is brought to you by Mercury. They are the finance platform of choice for over 200,000 companies. Shouldn't be surprised because I use it myself for not one, not two, but I have 8 different Mercury accounts. I have 7 for different companies that I'm a part of, and then I have my own personal account because now they have personal banking, which is a really cool feature. I highly, highly recommend it. Like I said, I use it myself. And the reason why is because the way that Mercury works is beautiful. It's very intuitive. And you could tell that it's actually made by a startup founder. It's an entrepreneur. You could tell it's made by somebody who used other banking products in the past and didn't like all the different rough edges and annoyances and decided to, you know, actually fix it himself. And really, any type of entrepreneur you are, let's say you're an agency, well, one of the things every agency has to do is be able to send invoices, easily create them, send them to customers, and stay current on your balances with all your customers. Well, you can do that inside Mercury. And so I think that Mercury is great. Highly recommend you check it out. And thank you for sponsoring the show. For more information, check out mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Check show notes for details.